Hey Jude, don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better. Remember to let her into your heart, then you can start to make it better. Hey Jude, don't be afraid. You were made to go out and get her. The minute you let her under your skin, then you begin to make it better. And any time you feel the pain, hey Jude, refrain. Don't carry the world upon your shoulders. For well you know that it's a fool who plays it cool by making his world a little colder. Hey Jude, don't let me down. You have found her, now go and get her. Remember to let her into your heart. Then you can start to make it better. So let it out and let it in. Hey Jude, begin. You're waiting for someone to perform with. And don't you know that it's just you? Hey Jude, you'll do. The moment you need is on your shoulder. Hey Jude, don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better. Remember to let her under your skin. Then you'll begin to make it better, 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 better. I'm Chuck Gregory. This is the New American Dream Radio Show, and we are streaming live from freedomslips.com or revolution.radio. And we welcome you to our show. We're glad you decided to join us tonight. Now, Revolution Radio is a listener-supported network, and we hope that you will head on over to freedomslips.com and find that donate button and make use of it. And right now, I am proud to introduce my friend and co-host, Mike Palachek, an American writer.
Hey, Chuck. Tonight we welcome these special guests, Michael Annis, Karen Katowski, Julius Alafong, Casey Goonan, Philip Ferruggio, and Frank Cordero. And so this Thursday evening, we're gathering for the New American Dream Radio Show in Fort Lauderdale, in Port Orange, in northern Minnesota, in Chicago, in Denver, in Des Moines, in Mount Jackson, in Yaoundé, Cameroon, and wherever you are. My recommended list for tonight, YouTube, JFK Jr., His Killers, and the Unbelievable Cover-Up by John Hankey. YouTube, CIA Hippie Mind Control, Inside Laurel Canyon with Dave McGowan. MemoryHoleBlog.org, the Boston Unbombing documentary. Also, we need to talk about Sandy Hook, the documentary. YouTube with Tina Foster, Beatles Conspiracy, Paul McCartney's Death and Replacement. And from MemoryHoleBlog.org, this recent post, the wrap-up smear. You smear somebody with falsehoods and all the rest, and then you merchandise it. Today, with a flagrantly dishonest media that failed to investigate complex events and take official press releases at face value, calling an individual raising questions a conspiracy theorist is enough for state actors to derail any critics. This is because media outlets repeat the accusation as a truism, while turning a blind eye to the factual information that might vindicate the person who's questioning. For example, an official narrative. In the lead-up to the 2018 midterm elections, the wrap-up smear technique has gone through a transformation to match Democrats' desperate attempts to generate their blue wave. Entire events are now arguably being produced for media to report on, from the Khashoggi death to the immigrant caravan and attempted bombings of Democratic Party figures already under investigation. These surreal episodes almost seem as if they're designed to bring the president's positions on immigration and media bias full circle, that his words have wrought consequences or to at least prompt him to overreact, thereby consummating the accusation. Find more about the Democrat wrap-up smear at memoryholeblog.org. And these headlines, common dreams, wow, huge news as New York sues ExxonMobil for defrauding investors by hiding climate threat. CommonDreams.org. From Information Clearinghouse, West is losing and so it's bashing China and Russia left and right, literally, by Andrei Vilchek. That's informationclearinghouse.info. And this from the Nuclear Resistor. In the UK, Bird Field bomb factory blockaded by anti-Trident protesters. Find that story at nukeresistor.org. And YouTube, Scott Creighton. His YouTube channel is called ChurchDog42, and his latest is Who is Behind the Fake MAGA Bomber Event? Also recommended by me, the Twitter reports from Andrei Vilchek, at Andrei Vilchek, Andrei, V-L-T-C-H-E-K. And now available, the November edition of Penn Magazine. Today is November 22nd, 1963. Penn Magazine is P-E-N-N, magazine.us. And now our first guest of the show is Julius Awafong. Julius Awafong joins us each month from Yaoundé, Cameroon. Julius sends this along to introduce his piece. This show is about the just-ended presidential elections that took place in Cameroon. As usual, it was a sham, rigged, and heavily ethnicized. And now, Julius Awafong from Cameroon.
Choke and Mike, greetings from Cameroon. This time around, I'm going to talk about the just-ended presidential elections that took place in Cameroon on October 7th this month. So, as it all went, you know, there was a this ongoing conflict in the English-speaking part of Cameroon. I mean, that constitutes about one third, almost like that, of the surface area of the entire Republic of Cameroon. So, with the ongoing crisis, and people being displaced internally, and some in the bushes, and some are refugees in Nigeria, it was almost impossible to have elections being run over there. Moreover, though the secessionists or the separatists were fighting for the restoration of the statehood of southern Cameroons, which they call Ambazonia, made things very hard for people to even vote over. In fact, they said that the elections did not concern Anglophone Cameroonians because it is not their thing. It is something that belongs to the French-speaking part of Cameroon. So elections did not really hold over there, except for some places where the ruling party or the party in government used the military to fix some kind of, or to mask some sort of people voting, especially some of the authorities who belong to the regime over there. It was, the results came out yesterday after it was heavily contested at the Constitutional Council by some main political parties of the opposition who wanted the elections to be cancelled entirely, and other wanted it to be cancelled partially. But the Constitutional Council rejected all the petitions. But there is an explanation behind all of this. You know, Cameroon has two main organs that are responsible for elections. We have what they call Elections Cameroon, abbreviated as ELECAM, and you have the which organizes elections, and then you have the Constitutional Council that declares who wins any elections organized. But ELECAM, first of all, we have to understand that the country called Cameroon is a heterogeneous state made up of so many ethnic groups. So many ethnic groups. There's so many tribes and a good number of ethnic groups. I think it's preferable to put it that way. So the ethnic group from which the current head of state, President Paul Biya, who just won presidential election for the seventh time, majority run some of these organs. I'm trying to say that President Paul Biya, who was given power in 1982 and who from 1992 started winning all elections organized in Cameroon, made sure that he appointed his ethnic members into these organs. Those who run the elections organizing body are mostly made up from people who come from his ethnic group or people who belong to his ruling party, who are strongly attached to his ruling party, the Cameroon People's Democratic Movement, the CPDM. And the Constitutional Council is in majority made up of his. And one thing I'm trying to say is that these people are not just people from his ethnic group, but some sort of direct family or indirect family members. So you find out that it is a clan, or it is almost like a family running the country for a good number of years now. So that is why after people said that, but what were you expecting? We are not in a democracy. We are in an authoritarian regime. And in authoritarian regimes, as history has taught us, elections or peaceful elections don't overthrow the incumbent or don't overthrow the incumbent autocrats. So it was invisible that he was going to win these elections. So some people said there was just no need going out there to vote, because just about in a country of about 30 million people and the 6 million who registered for elections, just about 1 million voted. I mean, you can understand what it means. No, about 3 million voted. But one thing I want to point out is the fact it's very impossible, as I posted on my Facebook page yesterday, it is very impossible to come up with clear and concise political analysis of electoral behavior or the performances of political parties in Cameroon, because all the results are fake. If you base on fake results to comprehend the political behavior, the electoral behavior, the comportment of political parties in Cameroon, you get it all wrong, because nothing is clear. So that's why sometimes doing political science in such a milieu is just a waste of time if you're trying to study this milieu, except you are studying how autocracies function. But electoral behavior doesn't just work or won't work for a country like Cameroon. Unfortunately, that's what I'm doing right now for my dissertation. And I asked for some statistics. I'm just using them, but I'm not sure if these statistics truly reflect the will of the people. So I'm not sure of what my analysis in my dissertation that I'm writing is going to look like. So let's come back to our election. So as he won the elections yesterday, a lot of questions came up, because I tried to move around town, and I saw that the town was heavily militarized because they were afraid of people going to the street, rioting for him to step down. So the question is, how comes you are confident you won elections, but in the, I mean, during declaration, you militarized the town? That shows that you know that something is wrong. Moreover, in the Anglophone regions where almost nobody voted, the results were inflated. It shows that more than 500 people voted over there. But that region is deserted. I mean, those regions are deserted. People are displaced. People do not vote. Even the American embassy in Cameroon did not congratulate the victory of the president of the United States, I mean, through their website. They just said, okay, they've seen the results and the president probably has won. They didn't congratulate him as they used to do. This is to show you that the frauds were massive. The frauds were just unbearable. The frauds were just killing. So that is when people started, some Francophones started understanding us, the Anglophones, because I'm an Anglophone Cameroonian. I'm the one suffering the injustice that's going on in our two regions. They started saying, ah, we now see why Anglophones are fighting. I was a bit, but we don't have the, Francophones don't have the culture of fighting for their rights. That's something we have to point out because, you know, they inherited from the French colonial system, France, which gave them the direct rule, which was a hyper-centralized system where all others came from the top or from the central powers. Meanwhile, in the southern Cameroons, we were federal in our way of doing things. It was a bottom-up approach in the English-speaking part of Cameroon. That's a culture we got from the British colonial masters, which is the reason why we are in conflict today, because the two systems that came together are incompatible. We had freedom of expression, freedom to riot, freedom to go to the streets when we are not happy, freedom to punish those who don't work well. But in French Cameroon, it's just the opposite. People have to take orders from those who are in office. People don't have to give their own points of view, or their own points of view are not even taken into consideration when they give it out. So Cameroon again has been a hall of shame in Africa, hosting or having a president who is 85 years old and who has been in power since, who is 87, yeah. No, 85, because he was born in 1933. Probably I was born in 1933. So he's 85 years old and who has been in power since 1982. So that's 35 years today. So people are just so tired, but they won't say anything. But that has not stopped the ongoing crisis in the English-speaking part of Cameroon, because it is a fight of a different vision, and the vision is that of restoration of a statehood. That's why they don't really care. That's why I did not even vote, to be honest, because, I mean, I'm touched. Because when you follow, you know, read about Adam Smith's theory of moral sentiment, it shows that you are much affected with something that's directly linked to you, something that destroys you directly. And that makes you to take decisions that might not satisfy the whole. My time is almost up. Thank you, Choke. Thank you, Mike, for this opportunity. I'll be back next month for more updates. Stay blessed. And I want to thank our listeners, too. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Julius. Julius sends along this note also. He is traveling around, doing travels around Cameroon to do research for his dissertation, and he needs to raise money to do that. And he says it's going to cost him about $2,000, and so far he has succeeded in covering about half of that, and he needs to raise $1,000 yet to help to complete the process. And Julia says the easiest way to help is to send any money through Western Union or MoneyGram through my address. It's Awafong Julius Tanang, and Awafong is AWAFONG Julius, and the last is TENENG. Telephone 237-677-899-193. NIS NSIMEY among Yaoundé, Cameroon. It's NSIMEYONG. Yaoundé is YAOUND, Cameroon. He says you can also go to worldremit.com and send any amount to the address. And if all that I've said is confusing, you can also contact Julius through his email. And it's votesizer@gmail.com to get the information from him. Votesizer, VOTESIZER@gmail.com. And we'll try and give that information again through the show if we get some time. And now we join in progress another episode of The Americans. The Americans is brought to us by Crisis Actors of the Homeland, Operation Mockingbird, Operation Northwoods, COINTELPRO, and by Kraft and Blackwater, bringing you Aurora, Tucson, Orlando, the Boston bombing, Sandy Hook, San Bernardino, Charlottesville, and so much more. The Americans dream of marshmallow clouds and lollipop lanes and TV towns, while the world wails, fists clenched, tears streaming. The Americans dream of rocket ships, fireworks, freedom, and hallelujah, while they sleep on through the alarm, the house of fire. It's true, the newcomers to Washington, D.C. are different than ever before. But after all is said and done, they are Americans. The construction is underway for the wall around the Washington, D.C. Beltway to drain the swamp with an impressive culvert system and to separate the White House, the FBI, the CIA, the Pentagon, the Congress, and the Washington Press Corps from normal human beings. Scattered around the job site are the wooden boards to be tacked up all around the new wall with the message. Let me put it this way. While 9/11 was a U.S. deep state operation, probably subcontracted for execution to the Israelis, the entire Washington swamp has been, since 9/11, accomplice after the fact by helping to maintain the cover-up. If this is brought into light, then thousands of political careers are going to crash and burn into the scandal.
We find President Cosmonaut standing at the United States-Mexico border in the bed of a 1949 Ford pickup, wearing a Year of the Apple Pie t-shirt with dollar signs and tanks on the back of the shirt and red boobs on the front. He's pointing in the direction of the migrant caravan headed this way. His face is red as he screams as he points because he wants people who don't understand American will know what he is saying, while both the space dog and Ricardo the space cat sit in the cab of the pickup, panting their heads out the windows. Our great-grandparents came here from other countries, Nut President yelled. They were poor, but they came from Europe, white countries. There's a difference. Today we stand on this border and we will stop any migrants from countries that are not in Europe from getting in and getting enough to eat to stay alive. That will not happen on our ship. We are a proud nation of immigrants and we have our stuff and we will not have our stuff taken away. That's exactly what it says, something like that, probably on the Statue of Liberty, that proud symbol of our heritage given to us by somebody else, nobody knows who, but to help us, God, God bless America, God bless the American people. It's our stuff, not their stuff. Amen, goddammit. Amen, goddammit, answered the small crowd gathered around the pickup as both the space dog and Ricardo the space cat jumped out of the pickup windows to pee. Join us next week for another episode of The Americans, where we will find President Cosmonaut still standing on the Mexican border wearing his red boob t-shirt with arms stretched wide and the mailboxes of several important leaders of the Democratic Party run straight through with Wile E. Coyote images and stuff like that. Thank you.
listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Our next guest of the show is Frank Cordero. Frank Cordero joins us each week from Des Moines, Iowa, from the Des Moines Catholic Worker. The Catholic Worker was founded by Dorothy Day. They've got houses all over the country, all over the world. Frank Cordero is a former Catholic priest. He has also spent many years in prison and county jails for fighting against the U.S. military machine and fighting for money and something for the poor. Chuck spoke to Frank Cordero earlier, and we're going to hear that conversation right about now. Chuck Gregory in Fort Lauderdale and Frank Cordero in Des Moines.
Gregory. Hello, hello.
Sorry, I didn't have the mic turned up. Hi, Frank.
How you doing?
All right.
So you called me here. So here I am. I'm on that first floor. The place is filled with people. We're minutes from serving. How many minutes are we? You're a little late in calling.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah, it's 10 to around 10 to 6.
Yeah.
I'm now sneaking into the storeroom, which we closed down at around 5. It's a darkened room, but away from all the sound, filled with cans and toiletries and hangers and where we used to have, we need more blankets and coats. These things go very quickly now.
But
I'm in a room filled, a house filled with lots of guests and hospitality, where you should find me. You know, I would say that this is, we're working, we're doing our work here. And I'm just always grateful for your interruption in my life. Well, maybe not always grateful, but now that I look on it, it's been a good little confessional, ongoing therapy for me. I don't know what it is for your listeners. I hope it's entertaining, because really, then why listen if it's at least not keeps your interest?
However, I think it definitely does.
I'm grateful for this opportunity most of the time. So, are you well? Things going good?
I've had a cold, Frank, but I'm getting better. So
I voted today. I needed to get it off my chest. I'm an anarchist. I am. I really am. I don't believe in any of this shit. I really don't. But I'm not an abstract anarchist. I'm an anarchist. Just believe in, like,
show the government that I can believe in, then I'll stop being an anarchist. I haven't found one.
Yeah.
There's not one. All right. So yeah. But the voting thing is just, it's an obsessive thing. And I used to tell people, like, it doesn't mean anything. Why do it? It only encourages the establishment. And, you know, maybe I have been, I've been too dismissive. This is what I understand voting. I've come to this realization long before Trump. I can't say voting doesn't mean anything. What I can say is yours and my vote means next to near to as close as you can get in any molecule of measurement to nothing. It means very little. And it shouldn't take any more than 5 minutes of any citizen's time.
Hmm.
But don't count that as your right to citizenship. It's sort of like if you vote and do nothing else in a poker game, all you do is put in an ante. You never pick up the cards. You never read what you want. You never ask for three. You never throw in some more money. You'll never win a pot. You'll never win a hand. You'll be playing poker forever. And always losing. So it's voting is just a, but the whole thing is rigged. You got to know that. You got to know that. You got to know that the, there's no bullshit about the Russians. I mean, we got issues with the Russians, we got issues with the Chinese, we got issues with everybody in the world because we're the biggest fucking empire in the world. And we're in everybody's business. And we own them. And that's just a fact. And as far as interfering people's elections, this country has been interfering with people's elections directly, killing people, coups, military takeovers.
Sure.
They have influenced every election I can imagine. They have taken out people, killed them. I mean, this is a joke, the kind of attention that we're giving the Russians on this shit. And the Trump administration continues to just do the awful things that he's doing.
Hmm.
Government just can't, I can't imagine getting any, or at least the uglier than the leader is so in. I just Trump drives me nuts. But then, you know, Ronald Reagan drove me nuts too. You know
what kind? I know what you mean.
Really did.
Really.
I mean, I got it. And this is again. I know I've mentioned this before, but this is the wisdom of being old. Because I do remember my great uncles when they were 67, and I was just a kid in the 60s and the 70s, and they were saying the culture's going to hell, the music's crazy, they're all on drugs. You can't control the sexuality. And we said, you don't know what you're talking about. Well, let me tell you, now I'm as old as my great uncles. And I look at the culture, and it is going to hell. And it's a terrible place, and it's worse than it was when my great uncles were complaining.
I know it is.
Or I'm just 67 acting my age. Either one, I'll go with.
Both fair.
Okay. So enough entertainment. I got to go back into the world.
All right,
Catholic worker.
Well, thanks for visiting with us. We'll talk to you next week.
God bless.
Bye bye.
All right. Bye bye.
Our next guest of the evening is Philip Ferrugio, who joins us each week from Port Orange, Florida, and here he is with It's the Empire, Stupid.
All right, good evening, Working Stiffs. Network 2018. You know, it's been 42 years since director Sidney Lumet brought to the big screen writer Paddy Chayefsky's brilliant story of Network. I recommend this movie to everyone. This great satirical film can now be looked at through the prism of our current state of American culture, or lack of. In the film, top primetime newscaster Howard Beale has a nervous breakdown on air, but not before he gets to the truth, the crux of it all. Beale rants and raves about how this whole system is totally broken and corrupt, with the media leading the way. or perhaps echoing it. He tells the public to go to their windows, open them up, and yell, "I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore." When the story of the inner story of this event goes viral throughout the country, Beale is no longer looked upon as a nut, but as an icon. The whores at his network realized that their faulty ratings could now be rocketed to the top. And thus, what we now call reality television was born. And as with today's reality TV, his station not only gave Beale a show of his own to continue with both his rants and his passing out each time on stage, but they created a myriad of far-out reality TV shows. One of them actually had a violent revolutionary group under the microscope of the television lens. That would be like today having a reality TV show following ISIS, or maybe one of our rogue and covert CIA units playing to undermine another nation's sovereignty. The inner secret behind the why of Beale's network allowing, even encouraging him to continue to rile people up was this. The American public are and have always been suckers for the hype and only care about being entertained. And so for 42 years ago, 42 years actually go by and nothing changes on that account. Bread and circuses is all the majority of our fellow suckers want and need. You see, Howard Beale did not offer solutions, only criticisms. This is what the movers and shakers of our empire can and will tolerate. When voices of dissent give out ideas of how to radically transform this empire into something more viable, they are silenced or they're blacklisted from the mainstream media. To paraphrase and re-edit the famous Mark Twain quote, politics and the mainstream media are the last refuge of scoundrels. Of course, to make certain that Howard Beale did not begin offering real and viable solutions or to incite mass demonstrations, the head of the network, Arthur Jensen, had him come up for a one-on-one. Actually, Jensen did all the talking. And how appropriate his monologue was for today's times. He begins by shouting at Beale, "You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and I won't have it." Jensen then informs Beale, very powerfully, that there is no America. There is no democracy. There is only IBM and AT&T, IT&T, Dow and Union Carbide and Exxon. We no longer have nations. The world is a college of corporations. Watching Network, a film that every high school civics class should be shown, we see how Paddy Chayefsky realized then, as now, that with this dumbed-down populace, there is only entertainment and consumerism. Nothing else matters to this empire. Wars today and so forth like toothpaste. Network news is scripted only to get us to watch their commercials and nothing else. We can get the same from reading supermarket tabloids. Debate on real issues for our very physical, economic, and environmental survival are tossed aside to make room for sex scandals, false patriotism, and scapegoating. The Congress, presidency, and mainstream media are composed of millionaires, as are the sports we watch. Everyone is super rich except the suckers who buy into the con. What the Trump phenomenon revealed is how the rage of every man can be channeled into following demagogues right over the cliffs of reason. Sadly, the key to make the suckers always look below their caste and never above it, the whole Tea Party movement has shown us how that works. On the other side of that phony two-party, one-party coin, we have the Democrats who rail against the very corporate sharks that most of their party takes donations from. In the movie Network, the powers that be knew that it was healthy for the suckers to vent rather than act. I remember standing in the public square with my activist friend and holding our protest signs against the illegal and immoral invasions and occupations of Afghanistan and Iraq. A lady recently emigrated from Germany approached me. You know, she said, if my country did what yours did in the Middle East, there would be thousands out in the streets demonstrating, not just like the two of you here. Thank you.
Our next guest of the show is Karen Katowski. Karen Katowski joins us each month from Mount Jackson, Virginia. She is a retired lieutenant colonel in the Air Force. She was stationed at the Pentagon on the day of 9/11. She has run for Congress. She's got a radio show. Her writings can be found at lourockwell.com. And we're going to attempt right now to contact Karen Katowski in Mount Jackson, Virginia.
Hello. Hello.
Hello, Karen. It's Chuck and Mike, the New American Dream Radio Show, and you're on the air.
Oh, my goodness. Well, the things that I wanted to talk about today, not creative on my part, really, but there were two articles that I think are important for listeners to take a look at. Not quite related, but they're both very pertinent to what we're seeing now. And the first one is an article by Judge Napolitano. It was on Lou Rockwell. Today I saw it. And it was Judge Napolitano is oftentimes talks about Bill of Rights and constitutionalists. He's known for that. His article today that I'm going to recommend to everybody, lourockwell.com, it's the lead article. It's called Camp of the Saints. And the Camp of the Saints, if people may be familiar with it or not, but 1973 dystopian novel written by a Frenchman, Jean Raspail. And it's a disturbing novel. It is this tells the story of immigrants. So now the reason Napolitano is talking about it, the reason it's pertinent today, of course, is we have this quasi-organized and very dramatic march of immigrants out of countries that they don't want to be in for various reasons towards our border with Mexico, our southern border, because America is a dream place. This is a place that they wish to be. It's better than where they're from in their minds. So they're moving. They're marching. And, of course, 2 weeks before the election, you know, everybody's talking about it, and, of course, Trump is going to send the military down to guard the border. Well, Judge Napolitano talks about this book, which in 1973, a novel, put forth a very similar type of organized, large campaign of immigrants from in what we used to call third world countries. We don't call them that anymore, but that's what they used to be called. And he critiques this book, and he actually it's well written, but 1973, it's racist. It is something that a modern snowflake or anybody even remotely, you know, that lives in this century would recognize as being racist and harsh and taking a very narrow, a nationalistic view. Well, Napolitano points out that he's heard or he knows that this very book, which I've read and found it quite fascinating, and it has some pertinent things in it, but the White House, guys in the White House are reading this. And then, of course, Trump tweets, and so we see. So he makes this connection, and I don't want to talk about this much more, but I'm recommending this article to people who want to read it. It's Napolitano's take on it is, of course, classically libertarian, which I agree with, and he explains a lot of things, and it's not the typical Napolitano topic. So for people that don't follow him or don't care for his constitutionalism, I would highly recommend that they read this article in the October 25th edition of Lou Rockwell, and the title of the article is Camp of the Saints, of course, echoing the title of that book. So anyway, interesting stuff, and we'll be watching this, of course, and people will see how it all comes out. Now, what I really wanted to talk about is another article. Again, I'm not being original at all this week, this month. But I have a friend who's a writer for Sputnik and some other places, Martin Seif, And he wrote a really scary and I think serious and valid article on a foreign policy. And the title of it is Death is in Charge of the Clattering Train of U.S. Security Policy. And in this article, which I want to spend a little time on if I have it, I don't know how much time I can spend on it, but he talks about, well, he runs through a laundry list of some of the decisions and activities that the U.S. government, whether that's Trump, deep state, Trump and the deep state, Trump fighting the deep state, not sure, but coming out of Washington, these reckless, confused directions, multiple directions at the same time. So he goes through, starting just in September 4th of this year. So he's looking at just in this past month, what are we seeing? The first thing he has is Trump on September 4th threatened to launch a full-scale military invasion of Syria. Okay. You know, 2 years after he was elected to pull out of Syria, and he did some things like that. And now, of course, we have Russia and Iran standing up for the legitimate state of Assad, but something we didn't like, and he was kind of okay with that. But on September 4th, no, he's going to go back into war. Okay. Second, on the same day, the Pentagon gave two Russian warships directly to the ferociously anti-Russian government of Ukraine, which is also chaotic, for potential use against Russia. I didn't know this. I didn't know either one or two of these things. Third, on the next day, September 5th, U.S. Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke suggested a military blockade against Russia as a serious option to cut off Moscow's booming oil and natural gas exports to Western Europe. I guess we don't want Western Europe to be warm this winter. I don't know. Third, September 5th. Fourth, on October 2nd, U.S. Ambassador to NATO, Kay Bailey Hutchinson, former senator from Texas, threatened a preemptive nuclear strike against Russian missiles deployed in their own country. October 2nd. I missed that also. Fascinating. Okay. It then says she tried to backtrack on the threat, but used the word term takeout. So, okay. Fifth, in November, scathing new sanctions aimed at crippling Russians' ability to carry out financial transactions around the world will go into effect. They've already been passed virtually unanimously by both chambers of Congress with veto-proof majorities and the hate-crazed support of the mainstream media. Wow. I obviously have not been paying attention. This has happened. But there's more. Sixth, not content with being obsessed with provoking full-scale thermonuclear war with Russia, a country whose leadership and people have repeatedly proven their abhorrence of such a prospect, the U.S. is simultaneously provoking full-scale conflict with China, its largest debtor and most important trading partner, and with Iran. Okay. Now, I did know that was happening. Okay. U.S. military officials have said the U.S. Navy wanted to send warships into the South China Sea to send a message to Beijing. We don't know what that message is. On October 4th, Vice President Mike Pence issued a blunt warning to China that the U.S. would not back down from what it sees as Chinese threats and attempts at intimidation. Okay, and then he goes to add to the chaos. Trump is now blundering into a full-scale diplomatic row with Saudi Arabia following the bizarre and obscene murder of Saudi consulate in the Saudi consulate of Jamal Khashoggi, Saudi consulate in Istanbul. So, and of course, that people are following. He goes on, threats with the Saudis, and the Saudis are threatening already to boost global oil prices if they can. In the past, they've been unable to really do that by themselves, but yeah, you know, they're in a corner. So it's just amazing. So Martin, who studies this stuff and has been doing it all his life, and is a reporter who's an analyst, says the only rational explanation for this combination of aggressive, chaotic, confrontational actions and policies in every direction is that Washington policymakers are determined to destroy their own country and take down the world with them. But he says, Martin says, the true explanation is even more terrifying. They quite simply do not realize what they are doing. And then the thing I liked about the article I'm going to read here, he refers back to Winston Churchill. Before World War II, British politician Winston Churchill called for a full-scale military alliance with the Soviet Union as the only realistic way to deter the the catastrophe of a Second World War and the conquest of Europe by Nazi Germany. Instead, Churchill saw a stupid, ignorant, irresponsible British national leadership complacently allowing Europe to descend into chaos and destruction. To explain the coming doom he saw so clearly, Churchill in Parliament quoted a long-forgotten 1890 verse by the Irish editor and wit Edwin James Millikan about a terrible train disaster. And this is what Millikan had written that was quoted by Churchill. The pace was hot, and the points are near, and sleep hath deadened the driver's ear, and signals flash through the night in vain. Death is in charge of the clattering train. The same judgment should be made of U.S. policymaking today. This is Martin again. In the White House, the Department of Defense, the State Department, both houses of Congress, and the great institutions of the U.S. media, the story is the same. No sane and responsible person is in control anymore. And then he says, death is in charge of the clattering train. So this is a very depressing assessment of American foreign policy, security policy, by a guy who has been doing this all his life and senior foreign correspondent for the Washington Times, U.S. Press International, United Press International. So he's been around. He writes a lot. He sees a lot. He has a lot of contacts. And he writes this very depressing assessment. Now, so my thought was, is he right? They just don't know what they're doing. We're led by incompetence. And I have to take issue to some extent, because we're always in this country led by incompetence. To Trump and his staff, how can they not be incompetent? Look at the people before them. I mean, heck, half the people he's got, the neocons, were recycled from Bush. They were incompetent then. They're at least as incompetent now. So this incompetence is not new. So, you look back into our previous governments doing great, terrible, fantastical things, decision-making. You know, you look at the people running the country during the Great Depression. Their policies extended that depression. In fact, the depression didn't lift until a few years after World War II had concluded. After World War II, we were still on, United States were still on, rationing tickets and all that. So the people, they're doing the best they can, but these people aren't geniuses. We might in our school books read that, these were geniuses, but they were not, and it's very clear that they were not. Woodrow Wilson, the terrible mistakes he made, policy assumptions that he made leading into our involvement in World War I and a whole bunch of other things that, of course, led eventually to World War II. So these people, they're not what you would call competent decision makers in foreign policy and national policy. They're not people who study it. They're not people who have experience with it. Even the generals who you could say, they've been outside of the country. They've seen how others work. Maybe they know these foreign leaders personally. Maybe they know something. No, not very good. Even the best of them were not very good. So I don't think it's that they don't know what they're doing, because none of them know what they're doing.
Karen, yes. we've run out of time, but
Really? My gosh!
What a depressing, but very.
It's very depressing, but I say follow the money. That's the answer. It's not incompetence.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for being with us. And, that was just really something and really scary.
Yes, it is scary. But those articles are out there. But anyway, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you next month.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Wadia will remain a dictatorship. Or be quiet. Why are you guys so anti-dictators? Imagine if America was a dictatorship. You could let 1% of the people have all the nation's wealth. You could help your rich friends get richer by cutting their taxes and bailing them out when they gamble and lose. You could ignore the needs of the poor for healthcare and education. Your media would appear free, but would secretly be controlled by one person and his family. You could wiretap phones. You could torture foreign prisoners. You could have rigged elections. You could lie about why you go to war. You could fill your prisons with one particular racial group, and no one would complain. You could use the media to scare the people into supporting policies that are against their interests.
Tune in Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, for Liberation Nation with Deacon John, where America comes to hear the truth.
I know this is hard for you Americans to imagine, but please try.
Ohio Exo Politics will be on from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Studio A. Mark Steiner will have guests on that will discuss many important topics, including the state of the world today. However, much of the show will be dedicated to the writings of Edward Albert Meyer. Let me read a short passage from one of his writings. Love is the highest principle of creation, and through it, everything exists in absolute logic. All of nature in its indescribable splendor is nothing but the love of creation, which is expressed visibly. The love of creation is everywhere, because without it, nothing at all would be able to exist. Please join Mark on Ohio Exopolitics from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Studio A.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Our next guest of the evening is Casey Goonan. Casey is a doctoral candidate in the Department of African American Studies at Northwestern, and he aspires to be a college professor. Right now, he is deep into prison activism, and we look forward to hearing from him in just a second. Let me pull him up right now. Well, they should be dialing. I don't know why we don't hear anything.
Please leave a message, and I'll get back to you as soon as possible.
At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
All right, let me see if I can figure out how to get rid of this one. So we don't seem to be able to get in touch with Casey. Sorry about that. I was really looking forward to hearing from him. Mike, did you have something else?
So, Chuck, that's not going to work, huh? He's just he's not there.
If you talk a little bit, I'm still going to try to. I'm going to try to call him from the other phone and see if I can, break through. But I keep getting the voicemail. he was supposed to be all ready. I don't know.
Okay, all right. Well, I'd like to give the information for Julius Auerfong again. Again, Julius Auerfong is a contributor to our show every month, and he's been on for a few years, and he's traveling around, as I understand it, traveling around Cameroon to do research for a dissertation, and he needed to raise $2,000 to do that, and he said so far I've succeeded in covering almost half of the expenses, and he's trying to get $1,000 U.S. to help him complete the process. And Julius says the easiest way to help is to send money through Western Union or MoneyGram through my address. And it's Auerfong, which is spelled A-W-A-F-O-N-G, and Julius, J-U-L-I-U-S, and Teneng, T-E-N-E-N-G. And Julius sends along his telephone number, 237-677-899-193. And then it's a word that I can't pronounce, but it must be part of his address, N-S-I-M-E-Y-O-N-G dash Yaoundé. Yaoundé is Y-A-O-U-N-D-E, Cameroon. And he also, what else did he have? He had, just a minute. Julius sent along another. You can also go online and do it. It's called a World Remit, World ERREMIT.com/EN/CA/Cameroon. Let me give that again. If you can go online to donate.
You have reached the maximum time permitted for recording your message. If you're satisfied with the message, press 1. To listen to your message, press 2. To erase and re-record, press 3. If you're satisfied with the message, press 1. To listen to your message, press 2. To erase and re-record, press 3. If you're satisfied with the message, press 1. To listen to your message, press 2. To erase and re-record, press 3.
Mike,
Chuck, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, and I was talking to you.
Sorry, you're having trouble. Your message has been sent. Please try again later. Goodbye.
Finally, it shut up. Good. That was Casey's machine that just refused to let go, but he does not seem to be available at all. So I'm sorry about that.
Well, I've got an idea. Why don't we go right to Michael? We're a little bit early, but what do you think about that?
That sounds good. That way we'll make sure that we have enough time for him.
All right. Well, the next guest of our show will be Michael Annis. And Michael Annis joins us each month from Denver, Colorado. Michael is the executive editor of Howling Dog Press. He's a poet and activist. Lives in Denver. What else? That's about it. This is Michael Annis in Denver, Colorado, and I hope that he's ready. We're about 5 minutes early, but maybe that'll work out. Let's give it a shot.
Hello.
Well, hello, Michael. It's Chuck and Mike, the New American Dream Radio Show. We're a little earlier than I told you, but I hope you're ready. You're on the air.
I'm ready. Hi, Chuck. Hi, Mike. It's good to be back on the New American Dream. Tonight, in the spirit of All Hallows' Eve, or Halloween as we know it, and through the remainder of the forthcoming holidays, I will be performing my major poetic meditation, Ab Initio, Ab Initio, which is Latin for From the Beginning, In the Beginning. This piece evolved over a three-week period during midsummer of 2014, and was published in Volume 2, Number 1 of Churn Magazine. It was written specifically in response to and as a verbal extension of the artworks of Angelo Musco, who I consider to be one of the greatest conceptual artists of the last 100 years, if not longer. His works are photographic, employing hundreds and often thousands of nudes, men, women, and children in gigantic layouts, often 14, 16, 18 feet or more. His constructions are surreal, mind-altering depictions of human beings in transitory movement through space and time, as if souls caught in the whirlwinds of being, unable to escape those who occupy the same paradigms. Stylistically, Ab initio ab initio is generally more abstract than my former New American Dream presentations. Its central character is the American writer William S. Burroughs, or Old Bull Lee, as he was often called by himself as well as friends Jack Kerouac and Allen Ginsberg. He is referred to as Old Bull Burroughs in my piece. In the spirit of Halloween and the psychically costumed departed, I have also brought in Dr. Moreau from H.G. Wells' 1896 novel, The Island of Dr. Moreau, which, additionally, has seen film treatments, including one starring Charles Laughton and Bela Lugosi in 1932. As do the works of Angelo Musco, this piece describes human migrations, body and soul, throughout human history from the beginning of time. With the recent mass migration of refugees from Honduras intent on entering the United States, it has become plausible that these mass movements of people from the hotter climates to the more temperate and from the seas toward higher land will become pandemic, as climate cataclysm becomes the great leveler of the human race, and hurricanes of people are forced to move away from the greatest areas of catastrophic upheaval for the sake of survival. That is the spirit with which I present tonight Ab initio, ab initio, dedicated to all those poets, friends, and particularly children in my life who have recently died. And there have been far too many. Across the corpus callosum, bridge of nebulae connecting realities, canyon of infinite perception where universes are first imagined, then born, reborn, reimagined, images of generations of bodies flashing momentarily, then disappearing into the churning whirl of human history, a history replete with disconnected events, involving disconnected people sewn together in the imagination of those occupying other spaces, other times, within wombs and upon neural net canvases seething with angst, marauding packs of souls returning as quantum waves, light as sound, as corporeal manifest destiny, to span forth, to return again, spirits in habitation within the pulsing rhythms of the ever-present here and now, awaking, sleeping, awaking, leaving behind dust and language, ash and music upon the multidimensional caverns of space and time that ever changes yet ever remains the same, ever dying, ever being reborn and born again through all carnages, scintillates the lightning of carnal existence. A sojourner, scribe, and janitor in the cut-up version of the world, in the crosshairs, cross-hatching existence, where dislocated and abandoned fragments of human psyche churn in pools with other confused yet determined bits and pieces of mind sloth, not necessarily ascribed to any individual identity, Old Bull Burroughs, voted least likely to accede, wanders among incomplete strangers with his tape recorder under his overcoat, recording the long pauses between human thought, the negative spaces between the garbled memes, the mesmerizing doldrums in the sea of useless chatter, and breathing deeply through a lit Marlboro vacuums up soul particulates fallen and left lingering in mid-space under the feast tables of the gods. He opens his kit, loads the chamber, flicks the needle, and shoots up enough of this human junk to immobilize a rhinoceros. His head bobs a few seconds, then crashes into the rocks of death sleep. Several hours later, he resurrects and reassembles these myriad bells and whistles of arcade being into holons of mitochondria that he telepathically transports to the island of lost souls, succubi to suckle Dr. Moreau's newborns. Do you know what it means to feel like God? Asks Moreau. Burrow nods his head. Affirmative. Out from the droning, dense black oil seepage of psychic sludge pools creep oligarchic transhumanists, harvesting humanity, gathering up the sheep for slaughter, lost herds of humanimal progenitors flowing, tumbling, slowly and laboriously churning in bubbling whirlpools toward a destiny of desertion that the genome knows, but not the vector humans who whirl terrified through womb tunnels of infinite existence, left brain grasping for unknown lingual limbs to save them from the current devastation and the psychic castration born of disinheritance. The hive mind of the galaxy is the Logos, and the tongue which expresses it is buried beneath the tectonic plates of the human skull. Tectonic plates splitting open, outpouring oceans of souls washing onto the shores of life and death. Souls at random churning in the sea of existence. There is no order to reincarnation. The souls mix and heave, blend identities and past lives, breaking apart on the shores churning. This tiny infant finger hooked around a star, describing the constellations, tracing the journey back from whence we come to reunite here on this plane. In relation to the tectonic plates, what is the density and shift of I am? What is its albedo and its declination? What earth is solid enough that it shall not shatter under the weight of its footprint? And what hemisphere can withstand the correction of its scales, the judgment of its balance? Death by emotional smothering, death by mental suffocation, the extinction of the human race by smothercation, soft, tiny, brittle creatures that damage easily and cannot tolerate either heat or cold. The locus of the quest for survival is in reorganization of language to bring right-brained language into the status quo, a left-brained universe, to break the archaic rules and expand the psychic life force. Wheeze of silence, coffin of genetic remembrances, propagating propaganda, a faith that has faith in powerlessness, whose function is to nail shut the doors. Language must be born anew, to listen and hear the language of the Homo Christos genome. With falseness, brevity of being, struggle, not harmony, war, not peace, dominate the American mind. Harmony is pretense and strife is the core of being, with conquest at the core of strife. Processing and reprocessing language to rid the flesh of old bones, brittle, dry, crooked, and worn out. This is the survival of the human mind. This is the life force that breathes, procreates, multiplies, the charter that harmonizes the nations and commits to museums and madhouses all strife that ignorance bestows on simple, displaced minds, possessed by the leprous scriptures of jingoistic megalomania. The Tower of Babel, the Tower of Disconnected and Disjointed Human Languages, the Sylph and Menagerie of Loquacious Crow, Menagerie of Lingual Afterbirth, Guttural and Incandescent, Holy of Holies, seeking the shawls of prayer and sacrament, scanners incognito fluttering back eyeballs to peer inside cavernous human skulls, hunting down the shaman, traveling through psychic wormholes, looking for sweat and sperm, tongue and scent, milk and blood, painting the subterranean cavern walls in the rites of human passage with the bloody handprints of their young, erected by generations of naked human suffering angst, skinning human DNA like skinning a rabbit. The primal tongues, the glossolalia, the eruption of power from the core of being, the tongues twisting out tones into phonemes, into syllables, tongues fluttering through the spittle of fear and desire to erect deep pyloned bridges between the right hemisphere and the left, naming them to possess and control them, to be the master of whatever is named with names such as love, to hunt down the cave bear and the saber tooth. Transidiomatic larvae of impoverishment, mental mausoleum whose dying mutters evolve obscure utterances drifting out to sea, as sea evolves sea, drifting into the cerebral cortex of the universe, each molecular fragment of thought adrift in the echoes of time, each setting itself homeward by circumnavigating the big bang of psychic instantiation from spirit into mind, where luminescence of the dialogue among the phonemes wraps the core of inner coherence as quantum self reverberates blossoming into language. In our nakedness, those of us who were before found our own footprints scheming to enter heaven through language rather than through absolute perception and the disrobing of our psychic core. Through the ancient portal, a primal psychic self, like a gale, churns up the silent prana force, the remains of the rites of passage from deep within holy caverns of Lascaux, Altamira, Chaveau, where bloody handprints, cloned like clock numbers on the walls, incantated the disrobing of language that humans could stand naked in their own existence. What does not speak does not leave unspoken.
Thank you, Michael.
Thanks, Chuck.
All right. Quite something. We'll talk to you next time.
Okay. Thank you again.
We have a little time here. I'd like to again mention Julius Alafong and his fundraising. Julius is in Yaoundé, Cameroon, and he is doing, he's a student. He's doing a research for his dissertation, and in order to do that, he has to fund it, and he's asked us to see if we can help out. He has raised $1,000 so far. He needs to raise another $1,000. And he says the easiest way to help is to send any money through Western Union or MoneyGram through my address. And this is his name. Awafong is A-W-A-F-O-N-G, Julius, J-U-L-I-U-S, Deneng, D-E-N-E-N-G. Telephone 237-677-899-193. And I think this is a part of the town. N-S-I-M-E-Y-O-N-G dash Yaoundé, Y-A-O-U-N-D-E, Cameroon. And Julia says also you can do this online, worldremit.com, world, W-O-R-L-D, REMIT.com/EN/Cameroon. And he says you can send any amount through the same address. And if all that I said doesn't make any sense, or if you'd like to talk to Julius and ask more, his email is votesizer@gmail.com, V-O-T-E, Sizer, S-I-Z-E-R, @gmail.com. And back to you, Chuck.
I once had a girl, or should I say, she once had me. She showed me her room, isn't it good, Norwegian wood. She asked me to stay, and she told me to sit anywhere. So I looked around, and I noticed there wasn't a chair. I sat on a rug, biding my time, drinking her wine. We talked until 2, and then she said, it's time for bed. She told me she worked in the morning and started to laugh. I told her I didn't and crawled off to sleep in the bath. And when I awoke, I was alone. This bird had flown. So I lit a fire. Isn't it good, Norwegian wood?
Find some comfort at Willow's World, a variety of news, commentary and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles, a show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
This coin, Litecoin, my coin, your coin, blockchain, baby. Mondays at 1600 hours Eastern, Studio A.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
And now, on Babushka Kalashnikov's Corner, the view from my Piroshki cart. Grandma Kalashnikov writes on her website her most recent column, "You must either decide to fight or get used to it and just live your routine life. Secrecy is the enemy of the truth. The reason so-called conspiracy theories exist is simply due to government-imposed secrecy, forced by the military force and power of government on duped, unwitting citizens. End the secrecy and you will end most questions. So long as government acts honestly and truthfully and scientifically and ethically, it is dishonesty and corruption and lying and cheating by government which leads citizens to use their constitutionally protected rights under the precious First Amendment to question such lying and cheating and evidently criminal acts by government officials paid by forced taxation of taxpayers. It is lying and cheating by government which fosters all of this." On Babushka Kalashnikov's Corner, the view from my Pirovsky cart. This is Andy Rooney now, reporting for the New American Dream Radio Show. Do you ever wonder, well, the kind of people we have running our government, if you really knew the truth, I believe we would be astonished. Forget about George Washington and the cherry tree, Ronald Reagan making America strong again, the George Bushes riding into the baseball game on national TV to throw out the first ball, then sitting in the front row. Forget about Bill Clinton or Barack Obama, the new liberal Democrats who care about you. Forget about Donald Trump, the populist truth hero. SpongeBob, The Simpsons, South Park, Calvin and Hobbes, Snoopy have more to tell us than those guys. At least in the Soviet Union, when they saw nonsense and lies printed in Pravda and TASS, at least they knew they were lies. We are still at the infancy stage in our development of not questioning the lies. And so the next time there is a so-called bombing or a threat of a bombing or a bevy or a bunch of baby blue backpacks found on a bench in Bemidji, the healthy American, the true American, the real American, think CIA, FBI, the police. The real patriot refuses to stand for the national anthem, and rather than another knee-jerk reciting of the Pledge of Allegiance, he says, "Not until I get some questions answered, because this is important stuff." This has been Andy Rooney reporting for the New American Dream Radio Show. Seriously, people, don't you ever wonder? And now a word from New American Dream bowling writer Jeffrey Lebowski. Brian Williams' greatest lie. No controversy ensued when Williams and NBC colleague Tom Brokaw repeatedly upheld the Warren Commission's lone assassin conspiracy theory. NBC once suspended Brian Williams for 6 months for lying. The fashionable anchor admitted to lying about being involved in a life-threatening combat situation while reporting in Iraq over a decade ago. Yet a survey of Williams' career indicates that this isn't the first time he's been dishonest with the American people. In one important instance, while broadcasting from Dallas, Texas, Williams began the NBC Nightly News by remarking, "We're in Dealey Plaza, just across from the sixth-floor window in the Texas School Book Depository Building, where three shots were fired 50 years ago today that changed the course of American history." The statement flies in the face of honest reportage by upholding the powerful myth devised by the Warren Commission that former U.S. Marine and intelligence operative Lee Harvey Oswald was the principal assassin in President Kennedy's murder. The American public can now point to overwhelming evidence presented by Attorney Mark Lane, New Orleans District Attorney Jim Garrison, the U.S. Congress, and a host of other researchers indicating that the three shots fired from the Texas School Book Depository was a CIA-contrived conspiracy theory. In fact, at least three sharpshooter teams killed Kennedy and wounded Texas Governor John Connally in Dealey Plaza in a triangulated crossfire. Later in this November 22, 2013 broadcast, Williams introduced fellow NBC anchor Tom Brokaw. On November 22, in 1963, Williams begins, Tom Brokaw was a young reporter in Omaha. He read the news of the assassination on the air, in fact. Amazingly, after 50 years, Brokaw had yet to exercise journalistic due diligence by publicly questioning the implausible government cover story suggesting that Oswald killed Kennedy. Nor does Brokaw take the opportunity to do so during this broadcast, thus perpetuating one of the U.S. government's greatest lies. Thus, two of America's most prominent journalists flagrantly misled the American public on this notable 2013 broadcast, yet no controversy surrounds their truly astounding assertions. Perhaps we need to ask, how differently would Williams or Brokaw behave as official press agents for the U.S. government? Brian Williams' deception points to a larger truth. A major career journalist's incorrect or embellished personal recollections are the stuff of controversy. While in contrast, when it comes to the country's most momentous events, from the JFK assassination to 9/11, the war on terror, weapons of mass destruction, star journalists are compelled to spread and perpetuate massive lies. So long as those falsehoods are sanctioned and promoted by America's national security state, those celebs are allowed to proceed without question. Indeed, such figures are lauded for their journalistic service. The public be damned.
Well, it's been another long week in Moon Rock Lake, Ohio, my hometown at the end of the empire. The American dream has dangled before our eyes for over 200 years. The American dream is the goal that we Americans hold on to when everything else is gone. The American dream is our ideal. Too bad it's just a dream. The Americans dream of marshmallow clouds and lollipop lanes and TV towns, while the world wails, fist clenched, eyes blazing, tears streaming. The Americans dream of rocket ships, fireworks, freedom, and hallelujah, while they sleep on through the alarm, the house of fire. We pick up our story after Michael M., staff member at Sun God Group Home, has sped off on his moped to tell the people at the workshop that there's a sit-down strike taking place in the Sun God driveway and they will be a little late. On his way, he swerved to miss a little girl, jumped the curb, and rammed his blue flake helmet into a war memorial for World War II at the city park, breaking the war memorial. And now the National Guard and police have stormed the park, taken Michael M. away in a National Guard helicopter. And Michael M. was in prison for having rammed World War II with a blue flake helmet. But he loves Homeland. All he really wants to do is get free so he can get registered for the Home Helper Show drawing and make his wife proud and his children happy. He was released because fellow prisoner donated his own gold teeth and some buttons to get Michael M. out of prison. He then found the home of the family of the little girl that he also hit with his moped, but instead hit the curb and flew through the air and rammed his blue flake helmet into the World War II memorial and was taken by special helicopter to prison as the big evil one terrorist. You're Mr. M. Yep. Daddy, here's M, she sang, running into the living room as M slurped. They walked back into the kitchen holding hands. Glory seems to believe you're the man who tried to run her over. M chewed, looked at him, then the little girl. You recalled the girl in the crosswalk. The black SUV blowjob, the crash into the war memorial, the gray pubic hair, the gray heart, the white quarter moon, the white and gray mohawk. He stopped chewing. He swallowed. I didn't try to, he said. I tried not to. The throttle sticks. I remember you, the man howled. His face flooded red. He pointed a finger at M's nose. You're the evil one. Yep. M shoved his spoon deep into his cereal bowl, which he'd refilled. Oh my God! A tall, thin, attractive woman walked into the kitchen and put her hands on her cheeks as if she were performing a part in a play. It's him! What is he doing here? She screamed at her husband. He's hungry, look at that, said the girl, pointing to the cereal on the counter and M's lap on the floor. He was outside, the man said, stuffing cereal boxes into his arms. Grab him, said the woman to the man, whose hands were already full. The girl moved in front of him and spread her arms like a crosswalk guard. He didn't hit me, she said. Put her thumb and forefinger almost together next to her eye to signify that much. Could have, easy, she said. The man set the boxes back down, put his arm around his wife's shoulders, and pulled her close. M stealthily reached for a box he had not yet tried and began to pour while keeping his eyes on the couple. Why are you here? Asked the man, tired, out of breath. I told you, said M, his mouth filled with homeland chunks. You escaped? M nodded, chewing. Why? Asked the man. Why? Why would you escape? Said the woman. You're there for a reason. They let me go. Oh, said the man and woman together. I'd like to get registered, said M, wiping his jaw with a napkin from the pile on the counter. Oh, the boat, yeah, said the man. That's very important. Good for you. TV, said M, pointing to the other room. I want to register to be on TV, too, said the girl. The Home Helper Show, said M. We love that show. The man and woman bent their knees and pointed fingers straight at M. That's how we got this kitchen, said the man. And the pool, the girl pointed toward the backyard. You need to get registered, said the woman. I can help you, said the man, if you'll do something for me. But first, we join the everyday action on the west side. On the west side, on 7th Avenue, a child lay in the street on its side, motionless. His mother sat on the edge of the road, holding the other one. Next to the mother stood a cardboard cutout of a smiling man with black hair in a white shirt, rolled to his elbows. A bright red tie, gesturing with thumb tucked inside pointer finger. A tape recording played from the cardboard cutout. We will take on the complicated problem of coordinating summertime lawn watering schedules. We will stop pre-dawn jaywalking by exercisers. Vote for me and help Homeland. My party is dedicated to doing whatever it takes to bring justice and peace and prosperity. Sweat dripped down the cardboard candidate. An F-16 perpetrator with a sun god flag on its side roared, still in the distance, then appeared. In the same instant, it dropped its bombs expertly on the house across the road, which exploded and caught fire beautifully. The mother leaned and reached to grab the arm of the child in the street with blood running out its anus and dragged it closer to her. Lions yawned in the grass nearby. Raga music drifted down the block. Down the road came a shining red pickup full of men and women. On the sides were magnetic signs. Pastors love dick. The minister chanted and sang and fellowshipped as F-16 zooming at treetop level tore up the neighborhood with machine gun fire. The preachers pointed at the mother struggling to feed one child while pulling her older one out of the path of the oncoming religious leaders. God loves you, child, they shouted. Alleluia! Vote for Dick. Dick and Jane will make it rain. The pickup's front tire ran over the child's legs and stopped. The minister ceased chanting and looked wide-mouthed at the scene behind the woman. The dead lawns were filled with children, mouths open, stomachs bulging, ribs sticking from tight skin. The children chewed on bullets, gnawing at them from different angles, trying to figure out how to eat them. Mothers were sticking M16 Remington cartridges into the mouths of their children. Stacks of shells for small arms, 20mm F-16 cannon rounds, and large oblong bombs were placed in neat piles among the dead babies and the infants sucking and choking on the varieties of ammunition. The cardboard cutout candidate smiled and said, "Daytime lawn watering, jaywalkers, round baseballs, round basketballs." "How did this happen?" said one of the woman ministers wearing a blue shirt and white collar. "This yard is a mess. They need to mow. Paint this house and water. Pick up the yard. Let us pray for these people right here, right now." The ministers packed into the bed of the pickup truck, bowed their heads and folded their hands at their waists. Some held hands. A couple of them put their open hands up to the sky, laid their heads back as if to drink rainwater, and closed their eyes, gently swaying back and forth. One woman began to hum, "Faith of Our Fathers." "Oh God," began a male minister from Homeland, "please, thank you, yes sir, no sir. These are the words that made our land strong. What we need is discipline, responsibility, honor, and integrity. Today's young people have too much given to them, O Lord. We ask that some be taken away by thy mighty hand. Smite them, dear Jesus, across the mouth." "Yes," a woman pastor from Franklin stepped in, shoving between two others to reach the edge of the pickup. Addressed the dying people on the lawn. "Yes, Lord," she shouted, "we will kill. We Christians will bomb and rape and steal and lie. We might as well call ourselves Teletubbies as Christians. We've turned it into a nonsense word. We will destroy the earth with our rapacious avarice, our negligence, our sloth, and our apathy. We thank you, Jesus, Yahweh, Jehovah, for being there in our hour of need. When the telephone rings, dear God, and we're outside and we think, please, God, don't let them hang up till I get there. And it's my dear child who needs a ride home from swimming. And can I find the keys? Where did I park the car? You were there with us, Jesus, through all of that. Oh, dearest God, for this we pray. And we will go to the glittering church in fine clothes and new shiny BJ, red, black, gold, silver, awesome, yellow. And we will sit there and praise you, Lord Jesus Christ, and listen to the pastor. He dares say nothing about the poor or poverty or our own riches and home, our bank accounts, our ultimate concern for our own undisturbed routines. Nothing about building bombs to kill rather than bread to feed. And, oh God, we do not remind him. He will never mention thou shalt not kill or the true spirit of Christianity, and this will be repeated week after week in thousands, millions of churches around the country. We shall never be bothered with the real you, Jesus, who would rather see these crystal crappers laid down brick upon brick and our own phony hearts torn from our chests because we are scoundrels, Lord. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Amen, said the ministers in unison. The pickup rolled off the legs of the boy. His mother hauled him onto the coarse grass by one arm and stared up at the ministers through eyes made large by the retreating of her skin. And that's the news from Moonrock Lake, where all the police and soldiers are thugs, all the journalists and Democrats are cowards, and all the Homeland Security COINTELPRO lone gunmen are about average. The new American dream means never having to say some question or idea is not valid. We're allowed to ask any questions we have. There are no wrong questions. There's no hidden black military budget. No UFO files Americans cannot see. No JFK documents that will not be opened during our lifetimes. No destroyed RFK murder photos by the LA police. No evidence from Ground Zero taken away before we can even look at it. We're not the USSR. The 60s, this is supposed to be America. That's our dream. To become America. The new America. The real hope of the world. We have a dream of bringing United States politicians, journalists, and generals who brought about these long wars, this debacle. Bring them to trial. Put them on TV, just like OJ, every afternoon so every American can watch, just like the McCarthy hearings, the JFK funeral procession. What we need is a new American dream, not of new homes and toasters and microwaves, but of becoming the type of country we always thought we were. Right now, we live on lies. We subsist on lies, but it's not really living. 9/11 was an inside job, and they all know that. What we need in America is a truth commission like they had in South Africa to heal their broken country. We need to put certain people on the stand. We need to be allowed to ask questions. Our country is surely broken as well. The troops are not protecting us. Let someone spin on today's news. Somebody's advertising slogan. Someone else's sermon. The troops serve the empire. They're not heroes. They kill and plunder for the empire. American bases overseas serve nobody but the empire. The heroes in our country are the protesters, the ones who go face to face with the empire, those in the plowshares movement, for one example. You have to know, Donald Trump knows the whole truth about the 9/11 attacks. He's complicit. He's lied. He's continued the wars everywhere based on a lie, and he knows he's lying. Lies right to our faces on national television, just the way that Barack Obama did when he said that Osama bin Laden had been killed and buried at sea. Yeah, Osama bin Laden buried at sea. Jessica Lynch rescued heroically. The USA does not torture. Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. George Bush won the 2000 election. See, there's a plane there in that hole in Shanksville. Went all the way into that hole, and no, there's no blood, no bodies, no luggage scattered or plane parts. And Osama bin Laden was buried at sea. Remember the anthrax letters which said, "Are you afraid?" Those were not written with a rock and chisel like Fred Flintstone from the recesses of some cave in Afghanistan. Those letters came from persons within our own government, like a horror movie and the killers in the same house with us. These killers are right here with us, and they want us to be afraid. We cannot be afraid. As we near the end of this episode of the New American Dream Radio Show, I'd like to thank you all for joining us tonight. Hope you'll be back next week and every week right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. And remember, Revolution Radio Network is listener supported. So head on over to freedomslips.com and make a donation. Thank you and good night. Try to see it my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can't go on? Well, you see, it's your way. Run the risk of knowing that our love may soon be gone. We can work it out. We can work it out. Think of what you're saying. You can get it wrong and still you think that it's all right. Think of what I'm saying. We can work it out and get it straight or say goodnight. We can work it out. We can work it out. Life is very short and there's no time for fussing and fighting, my friend. I have always thought that it's a crime. So I will ask you once again. Try to see it my way. Only time will tell if I am right or I am wrong. Why, you see it your way. There's a chance that we may fall apart before too long. We can work it out. We can work it out. Life is very short, and there's no time for fussing and fighting, my friend. I have always thought that it's a crime, so I will ask you once again. I see it my way. My time will tell if I am right or I am wrong. I see it my way. Yeah.
See it, do you? How close we are to absolute chaos. The sick ones are sitting on their fat asses, eating and drinking themselves into a stupor, polluting the world without a second thought while it goes down the toilet. Nobody wants to do the nasty work. You know, the shit that we all just think about. Most good citizens are just along for the ride and then bitch and moan and complain about everything when it doesn't work out. Not me. Get it done.
Revolution Radio. Where we do the nasty work. www.freedomslips.com.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We gotta stop them! They're gonna kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being!
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, by all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio.